You're listening to SBS News.
Ahead of the election on the 21st of May, the Australian Labor Party pledged that if the Australian people gave us the honour of governing this nation, we would repay their trust by returning integrity, honesty and accountability to government. Today, we honour that commitment.
That's Attorney-General Mark Dreyfus officially introducing the National Anti-Corruption Commission Bill to Parliament after months of political debate. It's aimed at creating an organisation with powers to launch investigations, make public findings, and look back at historic allegations of corrupt conduct. But one particular pillar of the legislation remains a point of contention among parties: the restrictions on public hearings.
The Commission will be able to hold public hearings in exceptional circumstances, and if satisfied, it is in the public interest to do so. The default position is that hearings will be held in private.
It's triggered concern from crossbench senators and MPs alike. Independent MP Helen Haynes is one of those nominated as a member of the committee which is to inspect the Integrity Commission legislation. She's been clear about her concerns over the public hearing threshold.
Why is the exceptional circumstances test necessary when it could lead to protracted legal challenges and hide corruption for longer?
Tasmanian Independent MP Jackie Lambie agrees that public scrutiny is critical.
For me, there is no public trust in politicians out there, and if you want to play this out, it's going to have to be in the public arena. If they've done something wrong, then they need to be held accountable like every other Australian who goes through like a similar court system. And therefore, throwing this behind closed doors is just about going to kill off any trust that we were trying to establish with the Australian people.
And Greens Senator David Shoebridge argues that integrity cannot be upheld in the dark.
One of the best disinfectants for corruption is sunshine. Public hearings are critical to the work of this National Anti-Corruption Commission. And on behalf of the Greens in the Senate, in the inquiry, we will be working together with this extraordinary bunch of MPs and senators to put as much sunlight as possible into this Anti-Corruption Commission.
The Coalition is taking a more reserved stance on public hearings. Opposition leader Peter Dutton says his party supports the government's proposed model, but warns that extraordinary care is needed.
I support the government in the model that they've put forward. As I said, it was one of the first statements I made was that I'm in favour instinctively of an integrity commission, but I want it to have that balance, and I don't want it to become an endless witch hunt for people. It's salacious on occasion for the media, but families are destroyed out of this, and the families are the ones who I think we should hear from in the inquiry.
Liberal Senator Jane Hume adds that the Commission's inquiries should not turn into show trials that unnecessarily damage reputations.
Well, we've always said that we don't want a politicised National Anti-Corruption Commission, that show trials don't serve anybody well. The most important thing here is that we don't deter good people from entering public life because of the potential reputation damage, the potential damage to their bank accounts and their employability, and also their mental health, as we've seen happen in so many anti-corruption commissions right around Australia.
Meanwhile, Treasurer Jim Chalmers and Finance Minister Katie Gallagher have flagged there'll be an underlying deficit of $32 billion in the final budget outcome. It's around $50 billion less than the $79.8 billion deficit originally forecast. But the Treasurer admits there are still great pressures on the federal finances. Although next month's budget will look to tackle costs of childcare, medicines and TAFE degrees, Dr. Chalmers admits that the government cannot ease all cost-of-living pressures. That includes the fuel excise cut, which ends at 11:59pm tonight.
Even to extend it for 6 months would cost the budget about $3 billion. There are substantial pressures already on the budget. We've still got around $1 trillion in gross debt in the budget, and so we can't fund everything that Australians would like us to fund.
And over in the lower house, the cashless debit card repeal legislation has passed through for a second time. This means from October the 4th, most people will be allowed to leave the program if they wish. It formalises the pending removal of the controversial income management tool, which bans the holder from purchasing alcohol, gambling products and some gift cards. Earlier this week, Northern Territory Coalition Senator Jacinta Price accused the government of racism due to its plans to keep CDC participants in the NT and Cape York on a different program, rather than allowing them to opt out of income management entirely. But Social Services Minister Amanda Rishworth says the accusation is irrational.
I find it quite amusing that a government that compulsorily put everyone on a working age payment, I don't know how they picked the sites, but the sites they picked with the cashless debit card put a significantly higher proportion of Indigenous people onto the card. I think that is quite laughable and really playing politics with this.
The final vote in the lower house passed 87 to 50, with the coalition voting against it. Brooke Young, SBS News.